Chapter 22. It's the night of our anniversary, and Bob and I are going out to Pisces, our favorite restaurant in Wellmont. I'm so excited. There will be no food served on plastic trays or out of styrofoam containers. There will be no macaroni and cheese or chicken nuggets on the menu. There will be no children crying or whining or parents begging them to eat their macaroni and cheese and chicken nuggets. And there will be salt and a wine list on every table. It's been a long time since I've enjoyed a civilized meal in civilized company. My mouth is watering already. "Everyone's out tonight," says Bob, as we inch along Main Street, desperate to find a parking space, stalking pedestrians who look like they might be leaving, annoying every driver behind us. We pass by a handicapped parking space, which is empty and so very tempting. But we don't have a handicapped parking permit, and I don't want one. For the same reason that we call Charlie's Concerta pills vitamins, I don't want to own license plates or a sticker or any sort of paper sign stamped with that picture of a stick figure in a wheelchair. I am not a stick figure in a wheelchair. Bob supports this philosophy and applauds my healthy self-image, but right now, I'm wishing we had that space. Bob slows down to a crawl as we approach Pisces and then stops, double parked, right in front. "Why don't I let you off here and I'll keep circling?" asks Bob. "Sure, I'll just hop out and run in," I say, not budging. "Oh, yeah," says Bob, realizing that I don't hop and run anywhere anymore. They really should have a valet. We eventually find a spot in front of the cheese shop, 4 blocks away. 4 long blocks. "What time is it?" I ask. 6:45. "Our reservation is at 7. 15 minutes to walk 4 blocks. It's going to be close. I look down at my feet. I wanted to wear heels, but both Bob and my mother insisted I wear my Merrell mules. They look ridiculous with my dress, but thank God I didn't get my way. I'd never make it 4 blocks in 3-inch heels. Bob opens my door, unfastens my seatbelt. We'd definitely lose our table if I had to unbuckle myself. Hoists me up by my armpits, lifts me out of the car, and plants me onto the sidewalk, where my granny cane is standing at attention, waiting for me. I grab onto my cane, and Bob grabs onto my left arm. "Ready, m'lady?" he asks. "Let's go." And we're off, a couple of turtles racing to dinner. I've never before been a slow walker. I don't amble or stroll. I throw it into 5th gear, and I go. And I'm not unusual in this respect around here. I think most Bostonians walk quickly and with purpose. We've got things to do, important things, and lots of them, and we're running late. We don't have time to dilly-dally, chit-chat, or smell the roses. This may sound self-important, rude, or even unenlightened, but it's not. We're most likely being practical and responsible and just trying to keep pace with everything that is demanded of us. And besides, from November to May, those roses aren't in bloom anyway. It's freezing cold outside, and we're walking as fast as we can to get back inside where the heat is. Like tonight. Tonight the temperature has dropped into the low 20s, and the wind whipping around Main Street is soul-stiffening. It doesn't help matters that I buttoned only the top 2 buttons of my wool coat before I gave up, rationalizing that we'll barely be outside for a second. If I didn't have neglect, I'd be game for running. But I do have neglect, and so we plod along. Cane, step, drag, breathe. The sidewalks are brick and unpredictably uneven, and they slope down and then up again with every cross street, making this terrain far more challenging than the yellow-lined hallways of Baldwin or our rugless living room floor. With every step and drag, I thank God for my cane and Bob. Without either one of them, I know I'd be sprawled out on the cold, hard ground, humiliated and late for dinner. More so than usual, because it's the week before Christmas, the sidewalks look like high-speed consumer conveyor belts. Oncoming shoppers whiz by us at an enviable clip, while the foot traffic behind us clogs, impatient at our heels, until a slight break in the oncoming lane allows them to weave past us. It's the typical demographic: women with newly manicured nails and newly done hair, boutique clothing store bags slung over one elbow, garish yet expensive purse slung over the other, and teenagers, always in packs of 3 or more, always carrying iPods and iPhones and sipping mocha frappuccinos, everyone spending lots of money. In the few moments here and there that I dare to steal a look up at the approaching crowd, I notice that no one looks directly at me. Everyone walking by us either has tunnel vision, narrowly focused straight ahead at some pinpoint in the distance, or is looking down at the ground. Embarrassed insecurity swells in my stomach and then scrambles to hide itself. Let's face it. I may not have a picture of a stick figure in a wheelchair tattooed onto my forehead, but I'm handicapped. These people aren't looking at me because I'm too awkward to look at. I almost tell Bob that I want to go home, but then I remind myself that most people walking in downtown Wellmont, myself included, don't typically make eye contact with anyone, especially if those people are fighting through a crowded sidewalk on a cold night, which everyone clearly is. It's not personal. The embarrassed insecurity in my stomach apologizes and excuses itself, leaving only an intense chill and a building hunger. Pisces is one tantalizing block away.